from the COIN Podcast Studios in Portland, Oregon. This is your weather weekend with meteorologists Joseph Dames and Kelly Bairn.
Well, good morning to everybody. This is your weather weekend. I'm weekend meteorologist Joseph Dames. We have an important podcast here because of our weekend forecast. I have morning meteorologist Kelly Bairn here with me this week. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's nice to be back. It feels like it's been a while since I've been on this podcast.
Yes, I know people have been probably sick of just hearing my voice. I've been waiting for your return. I feel like I'm just rambling to a wall. And it is really great to have you back. Your personality, your forecasting, just it's really nice to have you back. So thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So usually we have our podcast on Monday, and then you get this weekend podcast here on Fridays, and we talk about the event. Earlier in the week, we had fairly tame weather, right? I mean, a little warm, actually, on Tuesday. We hit 84 degrees, I believe, on Tuesday.
Yeah, what's funny about that 84-degree day was that it was the 10th 80-degree day that we saw in September so far. And statistically, historically, we get about 10 of those per month. So, you know, historically speaking, we should be done with the 80s, but we all know that's not the case.
It's true. Yeah. Well, it could be. You never know. It was 2019. We had our last 80-degree day on September 12th. So it has happened this early before.
Yeah, kind of the cutoff around now, our normal highs are in the upper 70s, yeah. So we're beyond the 80s now. I'm hoping to see some cooler weather setting up.
And if 10 is the magic number, I wasn't familiar with that, so I almost feel like I need to stop saying we're going to hit 80s again. Maybe this is it. Maybe that was it. We'll see.
We will see. And again, I'm hoping for cooler conditions, and that may be in store, you know, the upcoming weekend. So
it for sure is going to be rolling on in. And if you haven't heard us discussing the weekend forecast yet, hopefully this helps you out. And of course, pairing it with the event that we have going on this weekend is going to be a blast. We had some clouds kind of midweek, nothing really going on, maybe a little weak disturbance, cool temperatures Thursday morning, but the real event is going to arrive this weekend.
And it is an exciting one because it's something unlike what we've seen all summer long. So we are willing fall into place here with this weather system. Yeah. So I've just had a lot of friends who are excited for some potential rain.
Oh, we've had absolutely nothing even close to the same this summer. It has been just, you know, warm, dry. Really, spring, we didn't even have much going on, kind of similar to this system. So we'll talk a lot about this system on the other side. I want to get over to our interview first, and we'll spend more time on the forecast on the back end. We have Mount Angel's Oktoberfest rolling in this weekend, but I'm going to let Monica tell us a little bit more about that. So let's go listen to that on the other side. All right, there's no doubt that this event is a fan favorite. It's the Mount Angel Oktoberfest. I think when it's not here, folks start pining for it, and then when it arrives, they're ecstatic, and they get out, they enjoy it. If you're not familiar with the event, that's why I have Monica here. She's going to fill us in with some of the details, what's new this year, what you can expect. Monica, you know, tell us what's going on.
So Mount Angel Oktoberfest begins on September 16th this year and runs through September 19th. It begins each morning at about 11 o'clock. The food booths open and the entertainment begins about 12. We have 37 food booths this year, all of which are nonprofits. We have a variety of foods, everything from sausage and sauerkraut, of course, all the way to fish tacos and a bunch of the local Russian food. So we've got some really interesting combinations there this year. Going to be great fun and runs until about midnight most nights.
Until midnight. All right. So you could spend a full day here at this
yes.
event. And that gives the opportunity to try all these different food vendors. So
please.
I'm noticing, you know, I'm on the website. I wanted to check it out and I'm going through it and there is a lot jam-packed into these days. I'm sure it took a lot of people to get this organized. Wow. That's all I have to say. So can you just tell me about what it takes to get this thing going?
To get us going, we have a volunteer board. So the 19 of us that are on the Oktoberfest board are all volunteers. So we start planning this and we plan year round to make sure everything's set and ready to go. It's great fun and a great challenge. So 19 of us working on it all year. We bring in another 10 to 15 associates who help us set up, tear down 4 days of the festival. And then besides us, there is generally around 7,500 volunteers. So 7,500 volunteers that man the food booths, that help us pour beer, that help us clean the streets. There is just so many volunteers running around Mount Angel during Oktoberfest. It is incredible. And it always makes my heart proud.
When you get a team like that and you see everyone doing things together, it really does. It can make your heart proud. I understand that.
Yeah. It feels really, really good.
For people that aren't familiar with the event, I've been here for 6 years. And of course, we've been out there and covered the event. And it's just it's a wonderful place to be. But for folks that have just kind of arrived to the Pacific Northwest or Portland, what could they expect when they come driving in there? How is it different than Portland? What is Mount Angel like?
Well, Mount Angel is a small community down near Salem. We have about 3,500 residents year round, and we manage to, on our biggest years, this is not going to be our biggest year, we know that, we manage to bring to town about 350 to 400,000 people over the 4-day event. We literally swell the size of the town like 100 times. It's really cool. We are a Bavarian heritage community, and so in 1966, they said, we need a good festival. What could we do? Some of the guys at that time had come back from World War II and had enjoyed their time that they spent in Southern Germany. And they said, hey, let's do that Oktoberfest here. And so it tied in with the Bavarian roots that we have here. And it's really just taken off. That first year we held the festival, they had 36,000 people in attendance. And now, like I said, we're closer to 350 to 400,000 people, but it just swells the town. There is entertainment indoors and outdoors. We have lots and lots and lots of things to do for free, which surprises people because it's like, well, what do you mean? You don't have to buy a ticket? Nope, don't have to buy a ticket. You can just come to town, listen to music at the bandstand, listen to the music at the church, take the kids to the kindergarten. That's open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can look at the Glockenspiel, enjoy the Maibaum, and just have a great time going through the food booths and never pay an admission fee. So that's kind of a plus.
Oh yeah, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. So this question I've had to bring up each weekend because we still have COVID. And
I know where this is going. Yeah.
So what should people expect when they're coming to the event?
Yeah, there is the mask mandate, which means we should all be masked and we should all be masked indoors and out. So we've got our signage up. We're reminding people that they need masks. We've got masks available if they need them. I think we have 20,000 masks sitting here. So they're ready to go, guys. We're going to have additional hand sanitizer and of course, wash stations. But one of the things I think so many people underestimate is that 90% of our festival is out of doors. So the food booths are all lining the open streets. The kindergarten is all outside. The bandstand is open air entertainment. You know, if you're more comfortable with that, the thought that the air is going to be flowing through, it really helps people maybe feel a little more comfortable about the ability to distance and to feel a little safer about COVID. Now, there are our three premium entertainment venues. That's where we need a ticket for. You know, yes, you should be masked. You know, it is indoors. We have big roll-up doors, you know, kind of like so many of the taverns now have those big roll-up doors and you can walk in and out. We've got those that lead to tents. So you can kind of be in the premium venue, but you can still be outside. Hopefully we can make people feel comfortable.
Yeah, that sounds like you have everything prepared for that. What's something that's a little more unique and kind of weird that someone could check out in this event outside of just the normal, like, you know, the music or, you know, what's something a little bit different?
Okay, well, a couple of the things that we have in town that are really, really, really traditional, German, Bavarian. We have the Mount Angel Glockenspiel, which is in the center of town. And people look at it and they go, huh, cuckoo clock. Nope, not a cuckoo clock. What it is it's a little show of figurines and it resembles very much the Bavarian looking cuckoo clocks. But as the doors open, it shows the symbols of our heritage. So it'll go through the Indians that were here first, our early settlers, and different important people from our historical past. And it only takes about, 10 minutes to watch the little show, but it's fun and it's very unique. And we are the largest Glockenspiel west of the Mississippi. Nice. We also have, the Maibaum, which is our tree of trades, which is kind of the Chamber of Commerce sign that shows all the businesses that are in town symbolically. And we've got what we call the Die Fruchtsalle, which is our harvest monument. And that is it's the official symbol of Oktoberfest. And it's decorated with symbols from Bavaria and from Mount Angel. and it celebrates the fruits of the harvest and give thanks to creation. It's always a really fun piece of artwork. And that is kind of the classic place that everybody gets the family photo taken each year.
How about for events? I'm reading they have wiener dog races. What kind of interesting events do you have?
Well, the wiener dog races are great, but the gal who is coordinating them is in COVID quarantine. So we are going to be canceling the wiener dog races. I think I need to remove that from the schedule. So that really disappoints me. But do get a chance to check out the Alphorns, which are classic 12-foot wooden horns that a couple of the bands used to, they were traditionally used in the Alps to communicate. And they have a very distinctive, very beautiful noise. And they will be sharing those in their performances.
You know, some years it's warm, some years it's dry, some years it might be a little rainy. And that could potentially be the case as we head into this weekend. You know, are there tents? What should people be prepared for?
Yeah, we've got tents that cover different areas, and we have some that are truly like open air tents, and they're mm-hmm. freestanding. And so they're positioned around town so that you can kind of grab your food from a cart and run under one of those. The Prost Garden and the Hoffman Garden are a couple of tents that are a little bit bigger where we actually serve beer. So you can grab a beer without having to go into one of the premium venues. You can just duck into one of these little gardens that we have, grab yourself a beer and your food and just hang out for a few minutes while the showers pass and then go back at it. We have Oktoberfest in the rain before. It always works. Some years it's a little tougher than others, but I actually think this year's going to be pretty good looking at the forecast.
Hey, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, check out the schedule at Oktoberfest.org. I think I put in about 250 to 300,000 different things that happen, different show times, different events, different offerings that we have going on. So check out the schedule. We have many, many things happening.
All right, that's it, Monica. I can let you go and let you be. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you getting in touch with us, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Well, there you go. I mean, talk about an event, a lot of hands, a lot of work, but it is just a fun time. So many things going on, the food, the location, the atmosphere. We have kind of a busy weekend. We do have a little bit going on for a late summer, early fall here. So let's talk about that forecast on the other side.
Town of Detroit. It is almost completely burned out. There's one or two restaurants that have been saved. For all intents and purposes, this town is gone.
A year of fire
and ice
and heat.
116 Oregonians have now died as a result of the state's recent heat wave.
Three deadly weather events that made international headlines.
But what is the connection to climate change?
I think Mother Nature is very mad at humans.
Now, the COIN Podcast Network is going beyond the headlines.
The crises we're going to be facing from climate change are really going to balloon and intersect with other crises.
Deep into a discussion about our changing climate,
the danger it poses to all of us,
and what you can do about it.
We better start doing something about it real soon.
People are just not prepared for this.
It is a climate in crisis, now streaming on the COIN Podcast Network.
Kelly, Oktoberfest.org. You can find out all about some of the other events going on. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. It is jam-packed from Thursday through Sunday. So that's the place. Go check it out.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure real good eats,
yeah.
Real good drinks, a real good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's a good point of the year, and I mentioned this early in the interview that like people are just, I think they're just waiting for this event. You know, like it's just an event that people get really excited for. So it's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal, though. We have a really busy weekend. We have a weekend forecast that's going to bring in rain, some wind, some cooler temperatures. It's going to be an event that feels more like fall. Right? So we're going to have to deal with that this weekend.
Yeah. And what is exciting about this system is it may bring some positive impacts in terms of, you know, seeing a big dent to our wildfire season. So we're bringing in a lot of rain this weekend. And all week long, we were watching these forecasts and all of our models kind of fine-tune the timing of this rain. And as of right now, it looks like it's mainly coming overnight Friday into Saturday, and then rain still lingering into Sunday too. So in general, the weekend looks fairly soggy.
Yeah, I would say Saturday is going to be the wettest day, but the heavy rain is probably going to be through the overnight into the morning hours. So Friday here, you know, we may escape the rain, at least steady rain and heavy rain for most of the day until late, unless you're along the Oregon coast. Northwest Oregon coast may pick up on that rain earlier, Astoria, Clatsop County, Southwest Washington, the Long Beach area. But as far as the valley goes, I think we stay away from anything real heavy on Friday. But it does look like the southwest wind picks up a little bit, so be prepared for maybe a bit of a breeze on Friday.
Yeah, I was looking at some wind gusts along the Oregon coast, and we could see some wind gusts close to 45, maybe even 50 miles per hour for the early parts of the afternoon on Friday. And again, that's still before a lot of the rain arrives. So it's almost like we see this warm front swinging in, and it's just going to bring in a stronger, warmer, southerly wind, and we'll really feel it out towards the coast. But even in Portland through the afternoon, we could see some breezy conditions.
Yeah, it's going to bring in moisture too. And as the main front kind of moves on through, that's going to help keep the rain going. And I expect it to start kind of from the northwest and west and move through the coast range, eventually through the valley, then into the Cascade Hills, and then through the Cascades and extending through the state and that sort of direction. It's not going to be a system that like flies in from the south or anything like that, but it's going to be wet, it's going to be breezy, and it's going to bring cooler air.
Yeah, temperatures dropping to the 60s this weekend, likely mid-low 60s. So it is going to feel like fall. You know, we've got some soggy rainfall. We'll keep those showers going through the afternoon on Saturday. That paired with temperatures in the mid-60s, it may even still be a little blustery out there. So kind of feeling like an October weekend or November weekend rather than one at the tail end of summer.
Yeah. I know it would be nice to have, you know, a lot of blue sky for Oktoberfest, but it is going to feel like an October weekend. So if you're going out to Oktoberfest, just be ready for the rain, especially on Saturday, the event that starts earlier. If you catch the earlier days, you know, you're probably okay already. Here's the deal. I think we're going to get some locations, I think, are going to be at an inch of rain probably this weekend in the valley, maybe even more than that, 3/4 of an inch for most neighborhoods probably when it's all kind of through Saturday. And then whatever we factor in on Sunday is going to add on top of that. But I think a lot of locations could see upwards to an inch of rain. What do you think about that for the valley?
Yeah, I see it too. I tend to think models overshoot the rain more often than not, but there have been a few recent forecasts for springtime weather events where they were pretty spot on with rain total forecasts. So a lot of models have been showing, you know, late Friday through Saturday afternoon, we see close to an inch of rain in Portland, out to Eugene, Salem, maybe even a little more, maybe 1 1/4 inches. And then on Sunday, when the showers continue to linger, and we could even see some stormy conditions Sunday too. So within those thunderstorms, we could see some downpours. So I think there is a chance that by the end of the weekend, we even see closer to 1 1/4 inches or 1.5 inches in some isolated locations around the valley.
Yeah, if we get a couple convective storms that develop, those could definitely bring in some heavier rain. And that would probably be on Sunday because, you know, Friday and Saturday is kind of the front edge of this trough in this system and front moving on in. And by Sunday, we're kind of deeper in the cooler air of the trough. And that's usually when we get some of those thunderstorms. And that's why our temperatures are dropping down to the lower 60s. So all eyes on Sunday. Of course, I'll be in this weekend and I'll have updates, but it's going to be a soaker. And here's the deal. September, we usually get about 1.5 inches of rain. I think that's our new norm. And we may get close to our monthly average this month, which is hard to believe because we haven't had a lick of rain so far, and then all of a sudden we're going to get all of it virtually in a weekend.
What have we gotten? Like maybe a trace of rain in Portland, I believe?
I think a trace is our official measurement so far this
month. Yeah, close to a full month of rain just this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that just tells you how wet this system's going to be. And we'll see what follows up, if that's it. But it's also important because it adds to our water year, which wraps up at the end of the month, too. So this is going to, you know, put us put us up a little bit. We're still going to be well behind for the year. I think right now we're somewhere around 9 inches behind. So
really lacking this whole water year.
Yeah. But you mentioned this is going to help the wildfires. I was chatting with Kelly. I definitely think so through the Cascades. And this rain, I should point out, is going to reach everybody, expecting rain through central and eastern Oregon as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is quite the big system. And even though there will be some concerns for those burn scarred areas in the Cascades to see more runoff and more debris flows, even some flooding, I think this system coming in will do the state a lot of good. It won't solve the statewide drought that's been building for the last 5 years, but it will really bring some much needed rain to the region. It'll help douse some of the flames that are still burning from wildfires in the Cascades. And even beyond this weekend, the rain starts to subside. We dry out again, but I'm still not seeing much heat too. So it kind of looks like our wildfire season may start to taper pretty quickly as we head towards the next couple of weeks with no major wildfire threat, at least for the next 7 to 10 days.
Oh, that would be so helpful. That'd be so helpful if we could squash things now. I mean, the fuels will be more damp and, you know, that's great for preventing spreading and growth.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'll take it.
Yes.
I'll take it. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the weekend or feeling comfortable with that?
I think you should try to enjoy the rain. It's going to sound nice. I think it'll smell nice. It'll feel nice. But if you're out and about, I would grab a rain jacket.
Yeah, I had to dust off my rain jacket.
It's same.
Like, it hasn't, it's sitting in the back of my car, and I was like, I had to kick it off and like,
gotta rewash it or something.
Yeah, it has to get some use here shortly. So, okay, that's the podcast. Again, Oktoberfest, Mount Angel Oktoberfest, blast. I hope you enjoy that. If you're heading out, we will be back next week.
The Coin Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.